Our scripture reading today comes from the 43rd chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, and we read from verse 14. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I will send you to Babylon and bring you down as fugitives, all the Babylonians, in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. To give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. May God bless to us our reading from his holy word. Well, dear friends, at the beginning of a new year, we tend to look back and reminisce about the year that has gone by. You'll find now on programs on TV, there have been over the last couple of days, programs that look back over the year that has been, politically, in the sporting world, in the world of entertainment. We have reviewed the year that has gone by. But now we're on the threshold. In fact, we're here in a new year. None of us knows what 2026 will hold for us. But one thing we can be sure of as Christians is that the God who has created us and given us life is the God who will be with us, whatever the future holds. Now, the prophecy of Isaiah is an important prophecy within the canon of the Old Testament. I always see Isaiah the prophet as one who had a living hope, something that was typical of him. He speaks not only of the suffering servant, but he speaks of the birth narratives of the coming of the Saviour into the world. Many of the chapters speak of comfort to a people who had been in Babylonian captivity because of their sins. They had suffered for some 400 years. And now the time of a new beginning was opening up before them. God was going to restore them. God was going to bring them back to the land of promise. God had not forsaken his people, despite the fact that they knew, were aware of their sin, their rebelliousness against God. But now they knew, through this word, that God was going to do a new thing. Notice, I am doing a new thing, he said. It's a present tense. I'm going to do something which I'm doing already now. And that implies to us the constancy and the very nature of the God we worship. He is unchanging from generation to generation in his love. And we can be certain that we as his people, we as the people of the new covenant in Christ, are those who are particularly blessed at this time. Because we know and trust in a God who will keep his promises. God addresses a people in exile, a people who had lost their land, their confidence, and perhaps even their sense of identity. And in despair, they heard this word. I don't know about you, but every time I put the news on, I wonder if we're going to hear any good news these days. We see again and again what's happening in the world, and it causes us distress. It causes us a sense of uncertainty about the future, what's going to happen. Perhaps these people felt exactly the same. That again, we live in an age where in the majority of people have turned their backs upon God. Do not believe in a God who created them and sustained them to the very moments of their lives. Christmas time, this chapel was full of people Christmas Eve. 300 people coming to worship God. And they're not here today, are they? I'm not criticizing them for that. It's lovely to see them. And we'd welcome them with open arms. We have people sometimes of the event of religiosity. We celebrate Christmas, Easter, there are times where people identify, do they not, with a celebration without a deeper understanding of what it's all about. About a God who has entered the world of his creation in poverty and loneliness to meet with people in their needs and sorrows. A God who comes alongside us and teaches us that there is a better way than the bullet and the bomb. And that's why, at the beginning of a new year, dear friends, I want you to give you this confidence today, that as the people of God, we can trust and we can believe in a God who is unchanging in his care and love for us. who can do a new thing in your life and mine day by day. Notice he is doing a new thing. He is reviving his church. He is reviving his people, even in these days. The word of the gods goes forth. 2,000 years of the proclamation of the Christian faith. I've seen many, many millions come to faith in Jesus, and many millions are coming to faith in him today. That's the wonderful good news of the gospel. In many lands, it's in revival. We've seen some of it here in Wales in this last year. God is still working. He's doing a new thing in the lives of those who didn't know him before, and leading them in the ways of righteousness and truth. And that's what can be our experience as well. Whatever the future will hold for us this year, be sure that when we trust and believe in him, we have that confidence, we have that assurance, that knowledge that the God we trust and believe is a God who will be with us. Though Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. When we have trusted in Jesus, when we have come to believe in him and trust implicitly in him, then we can be sure that as sure as he spoke to the disciples in the upper room and says, peace I leave with you, he will give us peace in whatever situation we find ourselves. None of us knows, as I said, what the future holds. But we know that God is with us, and he will do a new and wonderful thing in your life and mine when we believe in him and trust in his redeeming love. And then Isaiah in this prophecy does remind them of their past. And he reminds them of where they had been at one time. The wonderful thing that this time of year does for us is that we tend to look in the past and as we look to the future. But there's a big danger of living in the past. Yeah? Have you got that temptation sometimes of living in the past? Of recalling things in your life that you wish you'd go back to change? Yeah? Those words you might have said, those actions you might have done that you are quite sorry for now, but time has taken its toll and you can't go back. It's impossible for any of us to go back to the future. 3 is on today. You can watch it on TV, but it's all rubbish, okay? We can't go back to the future. We can't go back to the past. Don't allow the past to intimidate your future, okay? Don't allow that to happen. Remember that God came to deal with the enormity of our sin and guilt and shame. Remember that. It is a complete salvation. It's not a partial salvation. God didn't say, oh, I'm going to forgive you for those things, but not for those things. Clearly not the case. All our iniquity, all our sin, he bore upon the cross for us. He took it all in the pain and agony of the cross. He took all our sins away, past, present, and future. And I know sometimes we tend to look back with regret. That is the evil one knocking on your door and mine and say, oh, you're not really redeemed. You're not really a child of God. Remember how you were? Remember how you lived in the past? Remember those things you did? Oh, dear David Jones, you've got a history, boy. Huh? Yeah, I have, like you've got a history. But it's been dealt with fully, completely. In those words, what did Jesus say on the cross? Oh, I nearly finished the work. It is finished. Complete salvation. Full and free. For you and for me. Ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. Who like me, his praise should sing. That's the joy of the gospel. Yeah. Of course it is. Don't be intimidated by the past, dear friends. I know it happens sometimes. But don't allow that to dominate your lives. Otherwise, you will bear a burden. And he bore your burden upon the cross. He took it all away. Because of that, we can be sure that as Israel here knew and understood what God was doing, so we can do. This is what the Lord says. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not understand it? It's all there for us. And this is the prophecy of Isaiah. About 600 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who fulfilled that prophecy in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection from the dead. Yeah. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. Simon Peter was always someone who had that great sense of regret when he met with Jesus. But Simon Peter came to realize, like the other disciples came to realize, imperfect people. And Simon Peter said, "To whom shall we go? With you are the words of eternal life." Trust and believe that the God who has created us and redeemed us is the God who will be with us. And we have a past, but it's gone. Remember the story of the prodigal in the distant land? There was a welcome. He felt his past catching up with him. "Forgive me, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to come to be a servant in your house. Receive me as a slave, as a servant." And he was welcomed as a son. Huh? Welcomed as a son. We are sons and daughters of God, who has loved us with an eternal love. He is doing a new thing. He reminds us of the past. And he asks then, "Do you perceive it? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? Do you understand what it means?" And then he goes on to speak about a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Now the wilderness represents confusion, danger and disorientation. The desert represents dryness, exhaustion and scarcity. A way in the wilderness. Look at the world. There's a wilderness out there, isn't there? Really is. Darkness and fear. The absolute devastation that we see and hear of day by day. And sometimes, you know, dear friends, as Christians, we can be sometimes a little bit blasé about that and say, "Well, that's how it is. It's recorded in the Word of God in the final days. That's how it will be. Of course it will be." And we understand that there will be division. There will be wars and rumours of wars before Jesus comes again. But we are human, are we? And we feel for those who suffer. We feel for those who are hungry. We feel for those who are in a world in which they have no future. We feel for the prisoners who are held because of their faith in Christ and those who are cruelly persecuted for their faith. We're not immune. We enter into that suffering, in a sense, because we are sensitive as Christians. We cannot close our minds and our hearts to the sufferings of so many in our world. And that's a clarion call for the church as well. But God has given us a way through. A way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. That's what will happen. Rivers bring refreshment and renewal to the desert. They refresh and they quench the thirst of many. And this is the kingdom theology we find in Isaiah's prophecy. It's looking forward to a day when there will be no more pain, sorrow and crying, for the former things will have passed away. But that's why our hearts are always moved. And as Isaiah's here, heart is obviously moved to that situation. "Because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim your praise." And that's why, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as those who love him, we are not desensitized to the world and the troubles around. We don't close our doors on that. That's what religion does. That's a sort of theology that speaks only of my own needs and my own desires. No, it opens the door wide to the very ministry that Jesus performed when he healed the sick, when he fed the hungry, and when he brought life to those who were in the darkness of despair. That's what he did. He was a river in the wilderness. He brought refreshment and renewal. And that's the joy for us at the beginning of a new year. In this dark and evil world of which we are a part, we too can be rivers in the wilderness. We can bring help and support to those who are in need. While we're here, in the days we can. For we know that one day, as we have sung, all creation will see him. Christ, the second advent, will come to our midst, bring judgment upon evil, and that will be a day when God's promises will be finally fulfilled. But until then, may we be those who are moved by the love of Jesus to help and support others. May we be sure today that God is doing a new thing through perhaps you and me in our weakness and inability sometimes to do the things we want to do. May we be those who do not dwell in the past, but have a vision for a future, to share the vision of John on the Isle of Patmos when he saw the glory of heaven before him, to know that that is that which we will inherit one day. That's sure, that's in your grasp and mine now. It is ours by faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ. We live for him and we seek to do his will in the world. So, dear friends, at the beginning of a new year, let's be sure that God is doing a new thing in your life and mine. Let's look back with gratitude, not with remorse or sadness. Let's look forward to the future, knowing that all our sins are forgiven. Let's be called by God to be part of this new impetus of grace, to understand what God is doing in our day, to perceive it, as Isaiah says, to look and discern that which is happening in our world, but to know that God's kingdom will come and the glorious presence of Christ will come one day, and the evil one will finally be conquered. But until that day, to affirm our faith and our trust in the living Lord Jesus Christ, to be those who bring light to the darkness of the world in every situation we can, to be the rivers of refreshment and renewal as the Church of Jesus Christ in the wilderness of the world out there, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Do you perceive it? Isaiah says. May we be people who look for God's newness, welcome it, and walk boldly into it. For that is our calling in the days in which we live and move and have our being. The joyous hope of the gospel, the good news of grace. Happy New Year to all of you and to everyone in this church and this community. Not only a happy New Year, a joyous New Year, a peaceful New Year, a year of faith, a year of praise, a year of service in the community, a year of lightening the burdens of people like on a Wednesday night downstairs. That which we do for him, and supporting the missions and the charities we support, because that's what it means to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that one day we shall see him face to face. And when I think of God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, when Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation, what joy shall fill my soul. Yeah, what joy shall fill my soul. Indeed, the greatness of the God we worship and adore. Amen.